Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is Valya, your host and trainer. Today, we dive into foundation, part one. And this is one of my absolute favorite parts of personal branding. It's the time when we're going to start putting pen to paper. It's the time when we're going to start consciously choosing. So rather than allowing what has been our past define us, this is that moment where we turn a corner. We've cleaned a lot of stuff from our excavation process, and we basically start putting our stamp into the world, how we want to be known, what we stand for, our purpose, our mission. This, to me, is really the heart and soul of branding. So before we begin, as we do each training, just set aside everything in front of you so we can clear our head of a couple of the distractions of what happened in our day, of any stress that our body is feeling, of any stress that our mind is feeling. So just take a few seconds to clear your space. If you would, sit up tall, plant your feet firmly on the ground, feel your back against the chair or whatever it is you might be leaning on, and just start taking a couple of deep breaths. In through the nose and just sigh it out. Out through the mouth, even make it audible. Just allow yourself to let go, to honor yourself for being here, for taking the time out of your crazy life to take part in this program and to invest in yourself. So just take a couple of deep breaths like that, in through the nose and out through the mouth with an audible sigh. And what I want you to think of as we're just centering ourselves and slowing down a little bit, think of what inspires you. When you feel a little bit brighter, a little bit more connected, a little bit bolder, perhaps a little more courageous, when you feel joy, flow, what is it that's happening? What inspires you? Perhaps it's when do you lose track of time? Perhaps it's, you know, when you read a certain book, phrase, when you hear a certain speaker, when you watch a certain program, when you're out in nature. Just picture that thing or person or object or instance when you feel inspired. And allow yourself to sit in that energy. We all feel inspiration very differently, by the way, right? So some of us might feel it physically. For some, it's a mental stimulation, right? What is it for you? When you feel inspired, I want you to really get into your body. What is it that you're feeling? Lighter, energized, able to breathe better, better posture. So just take note how your energy shifts when you start bringing your mental awareness to that, right? A lot of the work that we did in our excavation, right? The part one and part two of excavation, we dug into a lot of those thought patterns and habits that actually made us feel very small, right? And the feelings that we had in our body were the opposite of what it is that we want to attract with our new brand, right? Feelings of insecurity, self-doubt, worry, anxiety. We've turned a corner, and it's really important that we set our intention today and tap into the energy, right? So reality follows energy. First, you need to be able to see, identify, feel, embody what you want to be experiencing before the actual thing shows up, right? Some call it manifesting, right? Some call it magnetizing, whatever you want to call it. I know for a fact, right, that once you set the intention and you embody that particular energy of how you want to feel, how you want to be, that's what allows you to shift from the person that you're currently showing up as to the person that you want to be, to that brand that you want the world to see. And for me, I use inspiration as our anchor word today because it's what really gets me from one level of energy to another, right? It feels like something much bigger than myself. It allows something to almost channel through me, right? That you become this vehicle, this vessel, right, for your brand. and you allow all the mental noise, all the mental chatter to just drift away, right? So it becomes this really clean and pure source of energy. And leadership starts there, right? Those moments of pause when I told you, okay, practice the pause when you put your personal leadership mantra in and you're going to practice pausing before, so you're responding instead of reacting. That's the energy that we're talking about. That's when you tap into inspiration or peace or joy, whatever it is that your word, that your inspiration elicits in your mind, body, and your spirit. So just take a couple of minutes to just sit with that. Take a couple of deep breaths in that. What inspiration means for you. And you'll notice, right, some tension that might have been there when you first pushed play on our call today. Maybe your shoulders have a little bit more ease. Maybe there's a little more space between your neck and your shoulders. Maybe your lower back just sank into the chair a little bit more. Taking this time to slow down, to then be able to speed up and be that much more effective, efficient, productive, dynamic. That's what we're here for, right? It's the slowing down to speed up. And I want you to embody this centering practice in all that you do, whether you have 1 minute, 30 seconds, 2 seconds, or 10 minutes, or an hour. All right, so we're going to go ahead and take one more deep breath together. In through your nose. And then audibly let it out. All right, and if your eyes are closed, I welcome you to open them again. Look around the room. Just feel really present. Put away any distractions and just commit yourself, right? The foundation process that we're about to embark upon, this is going to be an instrumental pillar and anchor of your entire brand. This is going to be our foundation. Okay, so what we're going to talk about today is our values. And it's something that you may think about all the time. It's something that you might never think about. It's something that you just assume you know about. For those of you who have worked with me and those who have been a part of programming and speaking engagements and lectures, you know that we cannot talk about leadership until we talk about values. Because leadership is messy, right? Environments change, there's people dynamics, industries shift, shocking things happen, unpredictable things happen. And so without having that anchor, right? Without having that steady state and knowing what we come back to when there's chaos, it's really unsettling. It is extremely unnerving. And quite frankly, it makes us just like a leaf blowing in the wind. So the purpose of values, why we're going to spend an entire session talking about this, is beyond it just being your anchor and your rock, quite practically, it helps you start making decisions. It helps you start feeling more clear and acting more clearly, right? It helps us be very clear, what do we say yes to? What do we say no to? It simplifies our lives. It lessens our stress, right? It starts becoming the bedrock of our brand. Because when you know what you stand for and when you don't stand for, or as I like to put it, your non-negotiables, you also know where to draw that line in the sand, right? So let's say you're interviewing and you're wanting to completely change career paths right now. Knowing what you stand for and what becomes a yes and what becomes a no is going to help you get back to that paradox of focus that we spoke about a couple of calls ago. Right? Be really clear in your intention and how you define yourself and what you're looking for, rather than trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. Let's say you're wanting to work on your brand to just reinvent yourself within your organization, right? Knowing what you stand for, your values, is going to be critical to what you decide to put energy towards, right? Is it worth spending time investing in that particular relationship and fixing that rocky path that we had last year, or is it not worth it? Your values are going to help you decide these big metaphorical things and these very practical day-to-day things. How you spend your time and energy, right? If you're confused right now, if you're feeling stress and burnout, it's probably because you're trying to be too many things to too many people and trying to people please, right? It's a habit that we all fall into. The challenge is without knowing what you're saying yes to, what you're saying no to, and the order of those priorities, because we can't stand for everything. without knowing that, way too easy to get sucked into overdoing, overprocessing, overpleasing, and then what we're left with is a depleted self. And quite frankly, are less the least valuable version of ourselves that we're often putting out in terms of really important circumstances, right? A presentation, an important meeting, a client interaction, trying to get a new piece of business, managing an important relationship at home, right? We usually bring our most depleted self to that. And that's the last thing we want to do. So let's assume we're clear, right? Why values matter, what we just shared, right? Decision-making, clarity, less stress, simplicity, right? Helping you make better choices and more aligned choices. So then we ask the question, so what the heck is a value, right? It sounds obvious. We have the ones that we've learned from our parents, from family, from friends, from institutions and teachers, from the media, from our cultures, right? A lot of those, let's say honesty, integrity, gratitude, a lot of those tend to become universal values over time, that we all stand for that. Not necessarily, of course, but I'm making a generalization, right? That most people can agree to 4, 5, 6 guiding principles, right? What I want us to work on today is have the courage to go a little bit deeper. So not just this is a universal value, but for me, what do I stand for right now in my life? All right. So when we say what is a value, yes, it's a bedrock. Yes, it's a pillar. Guiding principles might be another way to look at it. It's illustrating to the world, right, that this is important to me, that this matters, that this is the way in which I see the world. That this becomes almost my, not even my moral compass, it's beyond that. This becomes my actual compass of where I'm heading and why I'm heading there. So before we walk into an exercise together, I want to take a little bit of a detour to clarify the difference between fear-based values and truth-based values. And this is going to be a game changer. All right, so fear-based values can sound exactly like truth-based values. So it's a little sneaky. That's why we want to uncover this. Right, so fear-based values are oftentimes, unfortunately, the things that we have learned from parents, from friends, from culture, from schools, from institutions. Right, take money, for example. Money is one of those really hot topics, sensitive topics. Right? If your relationship with money, right, and is I'm not going to have enough and there's never going to be enough, or I have to work my butt off in order to get enough, right? You might have productivity, let's say, as one of your top values. The challenge is you've learned to believe in a scarce view of money, right? You believe that there's not enough, or you've been taught to believe that there's not enough, and somehow now that's become your value. Ooh, I need to work really, really hard. That was one of mine, right? I come from Greek immigrant parents, and there's something for all of you who are first generation can appreciate, and even for those of you who aren't can appreciate how much we take on, right? So my value, one of my top three values was hard work, to the point, and I've shared with you the story, right? To that nice girl of I will keep doing, helping, wherever I can insert myself to be useful to somebody else, I will be useful to myself. Right? But that hard work had a consequence. If I don't work hard, that means I'm not going to get a good job. That means I'm not going to make money. And if we don't have money, we basically end up living on the street in a cardboard box and get deported back to Greece. I know you're probably giggling, right? But that's the severity of how quickly the brain goes from all to nothing. It's just a story. It doesn't need to be a rational story. Right? Our fears, all that imposter syndrome that we've worked on together through our excavation process, none of that stuff is rational. It's just those illusions that we've bought into and have created a sense of false reality. Right? So if my value is hard work and I pride myself, yes, this is one of my top values. This is how I make decisions. Right? This is why I wake up in the morning. This is how I select what job. This is why I don't take a lunch break. This is why I work on the weekends, because I value hard work. The problem is it's not my value. It's a fear-based value. I've borrowed it from somebody else or from something else, made it my own, and there's a consequence based. That's how you're going to know it's fear-based. oftentimes you have never questioned it. So it's just come from somebody else and you've assumed it to be true for you. And second, it has some type of consequence. So you heard mine. If I don't work hard, then there's not enough money. If I don't work hard, then there's not the right job. And then, of course, from there goes the ripple effect. And if we don't have the money or the job or the experience, all of a sudden, no money equals we're deported, right? It's very extreme. And it's going to be the same in your brain, right? That somehow you have been taught if something doesn't happen, there's a dire consequence. Now, when we put our rational hat back on, we know, okay, that's the silliest thing I've ever heard, right? We're all competent. We're smart. We will figure it out. We will have resilience. That's where your personal leadership mantra comes in. When these thoughts start plaguing you, when you start diving into values and it starts getting uncomfortable, and it will. And that's okay. This is one of those breakdowns before the breakthrough. It's okay if this starts feeling uncomfortable. So check yourself. Where do you have fear-based values? Oftentimes, it's in the realms of money, success, achievement, education. It's often when we are trying to prove. That proving energy is a very big clue that you're in a fear-based value. Now, that might have been okay in the past, right? I suffered from severe perfectionism, severe type A, right? And that has served me. It really has served me in the past, but just like we did with our thought patterns in the excavation process, we have to identify when has the thing that has served us in the past expired? When is it obsolete and when can we thank it for its service and have it move on? That's what we're experiencing right now with our values. That's the conscious choice. So truth-based values. Let's just kind of turn the coin on the other side for a second. It can sound like the same exact value. So for example, let's take my example, right? Hard work. I still have that in my top three. The difference is I redefined it because the word hard work felt really scarcity-based to me. It felt very depleting. It felt quite stressful, actually. So I changed the word to service because service is something that motivates, it inspires me, and it's me. It's at the very core, back to my guiding principle and my personal leadership mantra of servant leader, of service leadership. Who can I serve today? Right? So service became one of my top three values. Now I had to redefine it. Because it can't be that same consequence-based definition, right? So what I had to do was, okay, so what does service mean for me? Yes, it means work hard. Yes, it means say yes to opportunities. So how am I going to know that I'm living my value of service every day? And that's where the hard work comes in. That's when you have to start grappling with what that means for you versus what that means from your friend, your partner, your next-door neighbor, your mother, your father, right? Everyone's going to have their own definition of a same exact concept. So it will sound extremely different and extremely personal. So for me, that's a truth-based value. Because service, when I think about that, I know how to make my choices around that. I know how to say yes or no. So let's say an opportunity comes up. I know, is this in alignment with my service value? I'll know very quickly, yes or no. Right? Is it serving enough people? Is it the type of mission that I want to spread about leadership and personal branding and self-mastery and why that matters? Yes or no? Is it the type of content? Is it the type of experience that I believe in? Right? So all of a sudden you start forming this entire experience around a single concept, which you may have never even stopped to think about defining in your past. That's the brilliance of this work. So what you're going to do is work through an exercise to start choosing. What are my values for today? All right, and the way the exercise is going to work, you're going to see it in your workbook, and I'm just going to talk you through it. So you're going to see three blank columns, okay? You're going to see kind of the what's most important, most desirable, my non-negotiable column. You're going to see, yep, this is the important column. This really matters to me. And then you're going to see a column that's somewhat important. Like, of course, I believe in that, but you know what? There's other things that are slightly more important or greatly more important than that particular value. You're also going to see a listing of sample values, right? So right beneath that, you're going to see there's just a laundry list of potential values. Needless to say, this is not the end-all be-all of every single value that's possible. It's just to get your thoughts going. So don't worry about the words that don't resonate for you. Cross those off entirely. Add your own. Make it your own. If one word doesn't feel like the exact concept, switch it for a synonym, right? So feel completely comfortable making that your own. All right? So here's what we're going to do. And please do this in parts and follow the way I'm saying do it. Don't just jump to the last step because it's going to defeat the entire purpose of using both your left brain and your right brain to get into this exercise. So first things first is I want you to brain dump all the values into the appropriate column. All right, so you might look at honesty and that might be like, yes, my non-negotiable column that absolutely has to be there. So throw it up there, over there, right? Then you might see service and say, well, yeah, that matters to me, but not as much as some other things. So throw it perhaps in the middle column. You might see health, right? Well, yes, of course, health is really important. But for right now, you know, I feel healthy. I feel strong. It's not the most important thing. I'm not making time and energy for that. I'm going to put it in the somewhat important section. All right. So don't judge it. I want this to be very quick without too much analysis. Just your gut check. Place every one of the sample words and the ones you're adding into three somewhat equal columns. So make sure that not everything makes it on the non-negotiable list. Make sure you've got three somewhat equal columns. All right. And I'm going to walk you through the instructions because most likely you're going to be doing this after the call. I want you to push pause and actually spend a good half hour to hour doing this as homework between now and next time. So I'm going to walk you through, but just please make sure that you do it in these phases. So first you're going to sort them into the various columns. Then I want you to take a look at that non-negotiable column. That first one on the left, right? That first column. And I want you to force rank that. So what I mean is, let's say you've got 12 items on the list. I want you to number them, one being the absolute most important, down to 12 being, you know, since Molly is forcing me to rank these, this would be 12 out of 12. All right, so that's going to be your step two. Again, if you're doing this in real time with me, just pause the recording, go ahead and rank. Otherwise, just listen to all the instructions and go ahead and do it at the end and just set aside 30 to 45 minutes to do the exercise. So once you have your first column ranked, all right, we've got 1 to 10, 1 to 12, whatever you have, I want you to pick the top three, the ones that you've numbered, numbers 1, 2, and 3. And you are now going to write your definition of those values. This is the juicy part of the exercise. This is why this is non-negotiable when it comes to our branding. Okay? So you're going to write not only your definition. So let's say family made it to the top three. It's very easy to define family as, you know, my kids and my spouse. I mean deeper. When you actually live and are walking the talk and are experiencing your value of family, what are you doing? Who are you with? How do you know that you're living family, right? So you might end up with a paragraph. Your definition might be a real exploration of that word. Let's say one of your top three values was courage. How will I know that you're living courage? That's the question I want you to answer. What is your definition? What is your experience of that word? How do you bring it to life? At the end of a month, if I were to check in on you and say, hey, how are you doing on those top three values? I want you to be able to point to me. I did this, this, and this. And that's in alignment with how I decided that I'm going to live courage. Right? So this is very practical. This almost becomes like a mini development plan that you would be blowing out after you've defined the three words. All right? So what does the word mean for you? But more importantly, how do we know that you are living that word? How do you embody that? How will you be able to observe yourself living in the space of courage, honesty, faith, joy, whatever the top three are for you? So a couple of notes before you dive into the exercise, or even if you've been doing it and pausing, that's okay. I want to make a couple of notes for questions that come up a lot when I do this type of exercise with my clients. So first question that always comes up is, well, is it okay that my values change over time? That seems weird. So tough love coming from your coach. To me, it's weird for your values not to change over time, right? If you still stand for the same three things that you did 20 years ago, you're not living as deeply and as richly and as authentically as you need to be. Now, that doesn't mean that your three words don't change, but your three definitions better have changed. You can't possibly be the same person that you were 20 years ago, right? Or you can't possibly have the same three values and define them the same way if you, for example, just landed a new job and are looking for a brand new career path versus you just had a baby versus you just got fired versus you have no idea what you want to do with your life, right? Versus you just got onboarded and you're leading an entire organization. So make sure, right, the key here is to make sure that these values are reflective of right now. Those are two of the most powerful words in coaching, and I'm going to continue pushing you in that space. For right now, what are my top three values? For right now, what are my non-negotiables? For right now, what do I stand for? The purpose of that is multiple fold, right? But most importantly, to give yourself permission to not feel bad or guilty or uncomfortable saying no to certain values. Of course, all these things matter. Of course, it would be wonderful to have 1,400 different values. The problem is, it's not going to help you practically in your day-to-day life. And a brand can never take hold if it's got 1,400 different things that it's trying to be at any given time. Remember, specificity and focus are our friends here. Remember decluttering. It's the art of what do we choose to keep, not what we're choosing to let go of. That's why I'm forcing you to put pen to paper in this exercise. It's critical. Okay, so first things first, right? So values should and want to be changing over time. Your job is how do you continue to assess for right now what is most meaningful? How am I walking the talk of that value? How do I know that it exists? Right? How can I make sure that I am tracking, that I have tangible and intangible things that I know I can do or say or feel to be in alignment with that value? And this is also a really great place to just be honest with yourself, right? You're going to feel guilty. I have some clients, this always cracks me up when this happens. You know, they'll do the exercise and then all of a sudden they'll say, oh my goodness, my kids didn't make it into the top three. And we giggle, but it's okay. If your kids didn't make it to the top three, it doesn't mean that you don't love them. If your spouse didn't make it into the top three, it doesn't mean you don't love him or her. It's okay. This is your, you know, this is your giving yourself permission to be fully and utterly and completely you. No one needs to see this. But if you don't see this, and if you're not willing to look at the names and the words and the instructions that you put on this piece of paper for yourself, then we have a deeper challenge. So give yourself permission to be really clear on what do I stand for today, for right now. So going back to should values change, do they change? Yes, they do. And my wish list would be that you do this exercise once a year. It doesn't mean that the values necessarily are going to change. I see them mostly change as careers or major life moments happen, right? Starting a family, leaving a job, moving, right? A health issue. They're typically in those bigger milestones in life where they recalibrate. But how powerful would it be if you can preempt that and make sure that you're just doing some general brand hygiene once a year? And we'll talk about best practices on our last call together. But that's one that I really want you to take seriously, is put a date on your calendar today that you will replicate once a year. I do it on my birthday. You'll never forget it. It's something really nice to start a new year, right? For some people, they like doing it January 1st or in December at some point when they're crafting their goals and their intentions for the next year. So just think about that. How can you commit to yourself? I mean, in my dream world, you'd be doing it every 6 months, but I think once a year is a very practical, tangible, and also not impossible thing to redo this exercise, redefine it, pressure test them, and just make sure, yep, fully in alignment. I know what I stand for. This is what I said. This is what I'm choosing yes, and this is what I'm choosing no to. Next question that I get a lot, right? So people ask me, well, should this be something that I want to be, or I want to feel, or I want more of? Here's the tricky thing with putting down aspirational values versus actual values. If you only put down aspirational values, you're not going to feel really well. You're just not going to feel good about yourself because it's going to feel, I can't achieve that, or that's too far out there. Or, oh, if only one day I can be living this, this, and this, then I'll be happy. It goes back to consequence-based, which is a very quick rabbit hole into fear-based. So just check yourself. I don't want them to be future-oriented aspirational values. I want them to be for today, for right now. So actual practiced values. Then your work is going to be, what is the difference, right, between how I practice that value versus how I want to be practicing that value, right? So almost a current state and a desired state of that value. But we know that it's something that is in your world today that you are actively aware of, or at least we're bringing awareness to through this process. So that's going to be your next step after you define them, figuring out a little mini development plan for each of these values. How am I walking the talk today? Am I living it? Am I leading it? Or are there some gaps that I just want to make sure I bridge? That's very different than picking something and picturing something completely out there in the future that's much more aspirational. I find that counterintuitively, it actually makes you feel worse. So today, for right now, actual values that are practiced or that can be practiced starting tonight, starting tomorrow morning. The other thing, right, that I see clients do all the time, yeah, Valya, I'll think about this. This is such a helpful thing for me to think about. There's a reason you have a workbook, and there's a reason why I want you to commit pen to paper. It's because the brain is going to be much more eager and excited to go and wordsmith something than it is to create something from scratch. So don't judge it. Just literally free flow onto your paper or onto your journal or onto the document that you've been capturing your thoughts for our program. Just free flow. And don't judge it, don't wordsmith. You can come back later and bring that rational mind to it. All right, I want you to commit the pen to paper. It changes things. It allows it to happen much quicker. It allows you to magnetize, right? Back to what we were doing in our centering exercise. It allows you to be that clearer channel and embody that energy, set that intention before the thing starts happening, before the actual practical or tangible goal is manifesting itself. And the last question that I get a lot of is, well, is this for my personal life or is this for my professional life? Because it's completely different. So those of you who know me well are already going to know what I'm going to say. Those of you who don't, you're already getting to know me. There's no such thing as the personal you and the professional you, right? I see so many people, yeah, this is how I am personally. I'm fun, I'm outgoing, I'm laid back. And then professionally, oh gosh, I am type A, I am nervous, I am anxious, I am, you know, a driver. They describe two completely different people to me. And I'm just sitting there wondering, well, how can that be? Because you're bringing all of yourself to everything you do. So what you're actually doing is you're compartmentalizing yourself. You're stifling and choking a certain part of you because you've been taught to believe that that part is not appropriate or relevant for a professional environment. Or vice versa. That's not a brand. And I mean that with full love, but tough love. If you're serious about branding yourself, I need you to bring all of you to the table. Not just parts of you, not just compartments, not just those little pieces that you pick up or you bring out every so often. This work, the heart and soul of what makes this work transformational is that it is a practice of integration, right? So when you integrate, you are bringing all the best parts of you and making them into that one focused brand. When you only bring me what you think or you have told yourself out of fear or out of self-doubt or out of imposter or out of those thought patterns that we've created and we've identified, when you tell me I can only be this or that, it's coming from that place of scarcity, of lack, of self-doubt. But we've already cleaned that up, so it's not appropriate any longer. Right? We've gone through that excavation process, so it will no longer serve you to try and be like one person in the morning and then like another person at night. Or with one crowd of friends show up in a certain way, with another crowd show up in a completely different way. If that is happening to you, I want you to be very clear and ask yourself, is this the right environment for me where I can be fully and authentically myself? Most of us, unfortunately, would answer no to that question. So there's a couple of things you can do, right? If you're answering no, that no, in my current professional environment, I cannot be authentically and fully myself. The first thing you're going to do is take a long, hard look. Is it because of our expired thoughts that we've now cleaned up that I believed that? Is it just that imposter syndrome, that self-doubt? And it's something that I'm willing to work through with my personal leadership mantra, with my values, with my non-negotiables, with the work of this program, I'm able to transform that. If there is something external that you are not in control of, that does not allow you to be fully and authentically you, you really need to take a hard look at that. I can't even count the number of clients that have coached out of an organization with me, because once you, like I told you, there's no going back. Once you've seen what you stand for, what matters to you, your guiding principles, and you see that the organization or the relationship or the community that you find yourself in believes the opposite or stands for something that is in direct violation to one of your values, how do you keep going? You don't. That's when you start making tough choices. That's when you start having courage. That's when you start having difficult conversations, which is a topic for another time. So we didn't just do branding for a fun intellectual exercise, right? This is where the rubber hits the road. This is where it gets practical. You're going to define your values, and then you're going to look around. What happened for me personally, as I defined this and I got very clear on my brand, a lot of relationships started falling away. People that I had known for years, good friends, could not deal with who I was becoming as I was living in my bigger, brighter, bolder light. They had a really hard time accepting that. And that had nothing to do with me. That was their stuff. But it was getting projected onto me, and that was no longer okay. So just be mindful if in the coming weeks you see, you know what, that person's feeling different to me, or they're looking at me weird, or don't worry, smile. Know that you're on the right track, and if anything, you are making incredible traction in our work together, right? It's good to ruffle those feathers. It's good to feel that discomfort of, wow, does that person belong, or do they not actually belong in my life anymore? The answer is simple. Not easy, perhaps, but it's certainly simple, and that's the type of clarity that I'm talking about. So the good news, bad news is, A, you've come too far already, so now we can't unlearn what you already know. Right? And there actually is no bad news, right? I guess the bad news is there's going to be some discomfort, and we're going to plow through it, and we're going to persevere through it. So you're going to define your values. Okay, here's my top three. Here's what I stand for. Here's what I believe they mean to me, how I'm walking the talk of them. And then for each value, how do you practice it? How do we know that you're living it each day? And if you want to move the needle on it a little bit, right? What are the two or three things that you can do to really elicit that, to really bring that value forward in all your interactions, in how you present yourself, in what you ask for, in what you need, right? Whatever is relevant for you. So this serves as the foundation of our brand. This is literally the bedrock. This is the non-negotiable. We have now anchored it in. We've defined it. You're going to sit and play with these words over the next couple of weeks. And you'll see if one needs to tweak, if you're like, wow, I didn't realize that all three of my values actually bucket into one mega value. That's great. Right? I realized at first I had happiness as one of my top three values. And then it just kept feeling like the others were at a different level of what happy meant. And then I realized that if I'm living my three values consistently, happiness is actually the output. So start playing around with the words. You might be able to actually unravel different equations for yourself of what leads into what. So it doesn't need to be linear, For those of you who think more conceptually, draw them out. Draw a visual representation of your value. It doesn't have to be linear. It doesn't have to be in words. Right? Use your creativity to really embody this and imbue this into the heart of the brand. All right, so you're going to define them. You're going to do your mini development plan for each of the values. And you're going to start noticing. You're going to put that observer hat back on to just see what's changed, what's different. Start reflecting in your journal. What am I noticing? How come I had a little bit more courage to be bolder in that one situation? All right. If you have trouble identifying your top three, which hopefully this process will make it quite easy for you. I mean, uncomfortable perhaps, but easy. If you have trouble, I want you to think back to a situation, all right, that was difficult for you. Perhaps a period of time in your life, an argument, something that really stuck with you for quite a while. And I want you to ask yourself, what value of mine was being threatened in that situation? This is kind of a back entrance to get to a top value. You will know when something pokes and prods and really hurts you on a deeper level underneath the surface. It's 9 times out of 10, if not more, because a deep, deep underneath important value was somehow being threatened. Somehow a person did something or said something that really disoriented your world and your sense of being and what matters to you. So that's another way to either pressure test that you've got the top three or make sure you can articulate your top three if you're having trouble. All right. So what we're going to move into next time, right? Once we have our values, we're going to start thinking more practically, right? In terms of what are our strengths. So we're going to do a little bit of work around different dimensions of strengths, not just one generic functional strength, which is typically what happens and what we think of. Right? We're going to talk about what to do with weaknesses because they exist and they're around. So what matters and how do I deal with that? Right? Particularly in a professional setting. And finally, start introing what is our experience going to be into branding? What kind of data do I want you writing down, capturing, observing in the world? What types of qualities? Right? So we're going to really start putting now the legs. So today was the foundation. We've got our roots. Now we're going to start building the structure around our brand. And then finally, after that, the week after, we are going to dive in and actually talk about your branding statement, your value proposition, how to start bringing that out into the world after all the inner work that we've done. So I want you to really take some time between now and next time we meet to just sit with this concept, go back and analyze fear-based versus truth-based, and forgive what might come up for you. And what I see a lot of time, there's painful resentment, almost frustration, right? Whether it's with parents, with institutions, with culture, just a general sense of shame, blame can often come up in the depth of this work. For why was I taught this? Or my goodness, I've lived, 30, 40, 50 years believing this, and it's not even mine. Allow that frustration to be a celebration for you that you have gotten to the heart of one of the deepest issues of branding, of confidence, of resilience, right? This is the root of it. The articulation of what I stand for independent of anybody else on this planet and how I bring what I stand for out into the world. So I thank you. I honor you. I'm so grateful for the time that we had together today. And I really invite you to put as much time as you can between now and our next call into the depths of this foundation. This is going to be transformative for you. And I'm holding the intention that that's the case. And I just wish you amazing discoveries, real curiosity, right? And just real potential for what could be when you start defining and putting these things on paper. All right, so until I see you next time, be well, have fun with this values exercise, and I'll talk to you next week.